What a privilege, honor, and blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. God truly is a good God, isn't He? We give honor to your pastor and pastor's wife. Amen. What fine people they have. What a great man you have to lead you into the ways of God. And we're thankful that we've made their acquaintance over these years. And we bless them. Thank you to your leadership. Amen. You have great people here that are leading you. And it's just a wonderful thing to be in a church that has wonderful leadership. Amen. It's also a great thing to be in a church that has God. Not all churches can say that. They can say they're in church. They can say that God, but that God is not always present among them. And I'm thankful for the God that's always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Praise God. Praise God. My honor to be here today. It's been an annual thing for the last few years, and I look forward to it. Amen. To come and minister here. What a great church you have here. Amen. Some of the things that I like to do, kind of corny, but then if you all talk about your things, they're kind of corny too. You don't reveal all of them all of the time. Amen. I notice posters and signs. Amen. And especially when you go into restrooms, you notice different sayings that you have there. My daughter-in-law has a little plaque in her bathroom, and it says, "My aim is to keep my bathroom clean, so please watch your aim." I walked in your restroom, the men's room here today, and it says, "Stay humble, work hard, and be kind." Amen. That's good stuff. Praise God. Amen. The Lord truly is good. Praise God. I'd like for you to turn your attention with me to the book of Ezekiel this morning. I know you have been standing for most of the service. Amen. I will allow you to sit for a little while. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to preach from this scripture this morning. I don't often preach in this venue, this mode, the way I'm feeling to preach here today. But I feel the Lord wants to minister to people here today. I feel God wants to touch people's lives and change you and let you leave this building different than when you came here this morning. And it's not just a select few group of people today, but it was emphasized several times in several scriptures, all. God wants to touch every single person here today. And I believe God is able to do that. I want to talk about it in a little while, but we do not serve a little God. We serve a great God. Amen. A great God. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning in verse number 1. "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in an open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know. Everybody say no. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. With the help of the Lord this morning, I want to preach to you from this subject. There are no victories at discount prices. Amen. There are no victories at discount prices. Before you're seated, raise your hands and just ask the Lord to minister to you today. Amen. As an individual, whatever you might have in your life, amen, open your heart right now and say, God, I want to allow you to come into my heart and do what you need to do in us here today. In the name of Jesus, I worship you, Lord. I praise your name. I praise your name. I praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, I bless you today. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. You can be seated this morning. It was Dwight D. Eisenhower that made that statement, there are no victories at discount prices. It seems like everybody's looking for bargains today. I love a bargain. I love a sale as much as the next person. In fact, for several years, we traveled to Guatemala three times. And in those trips, I was known as the absolute master bargainer. People would come up to me and say, Brother Dibble, do you know that I just got this for this price here? And there's no way that you would ever be able to get it cheaper. Game on. And I walked away every single time with a better bargain than they did. Amen. But bargain by definition is a process whereby buyer and seller agree on the price of goods or services. It is an agreement to exchange goods at a certain price. It is an advantageous purchase, especially when acquired at less than the usual cost. And people will go to great lengths when they think. You have to know a little bit about marketing because there really aren't a whole lot of bargains out there. They inflate to reduce to make it look like you're getting a good deal. People will go to great lengths when they think they're going to get a bargain or something for almost nothing. They will camp out all night, even days at a time. They'll get up at all hours of the night to be the first in line. It really seems like everybody is looking for a bargain. But I can tell you today that there are no bargains spiritually at discount prices. As Christians, we are fighting a war today. All around us, things are happening that are trying to defeat us and get us to lose out with our Savior. The Bible calls our enemy, which his name is Satan, it lets us to know that he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Make no doubt about it today, Satan is on the attack. His ultimate goal is yours and my soul. He will use any tactic, anything, any individual. He tries to attack us through our friends, through our families, and through our enemies. His attack will come in our homes, on our jobs, at the store, driving down the road. He will attack us in our minds, bring fear to us, bring doubt to us, fill us with anxiety. He loves to make us feel insecure, unwanted, unloved, broken, worthless, hopeless, and helpless. He wants you to think that God is mad at you. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. God has forgotten you, and God has abandoned you. But remember what the Bible says about Satan. It lets us to know in John that he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Romans says, if God be for us, who can be against us? First John says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In fact, Jesus himself spoke to Satan in Luke chapter 4, and he said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Understand this morning, if Satan was to make an appearance here today, and he would try to hinder, he would try to get you not to participate and worship the Lord. But understand, if Satan would come into the house of the Lord where the presence of God is, his only thing that he could do was what Jesus told him, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Amen. He is trying to stop you. Amen. But when he gets in God's presence, amen, there is nothing that he can do except worship. And so, because we have the Spirit of the Lord, why can't we worship freely? Amen. Uninhibited. Amen. No matter what the circumstance, we ought to be able to raise our hands, lift our voice. Amen. Amen. Shout to the top of our lungs. Amen. And praise the Lord, the King of Kings, today. In 1 Kings chapter 14, we read where King Rehoboam allowed King Shishak, who was the king of Egypt, to come and steal all the treasures from the house of the Lord and take away all the shields of gold. I understand that I'm not at home. I understand that I'm visiting, and I try my very best to behave myself when I visit. Amen. I've had to cut a lot out of this message today. I was up late last night. Amen. Last year, God, as soon as Brother Greeley asked me to come and preach, God gave me a word. Amen. And that was it. I was all set. This time it was a little different. Amen. It was last night and God directed me to this. So I'll try to behave today, but Rehoboam allowed King Shishak to take these things. Rehoboam did not seem upset, nor did he understand the value of the treasures of God, nor of the shields of gold. He did not try to get them back, nor replace them with what they were, but he used inferior things. The Bible tells us that he made in their stead shields of brass. Can I tell you today that we need to be very careful that we do not allow the spirit of Shishak, which is the spirit which is in the world, to get into our church today. We cannot allow our worship to be tainted. No amount of new singing, dancing with dance steps, movement, keeping up with technology, keeping up with the modern church. Amen. No amount of appeasement to make ourselves to be accepted by the rest of the world. Amen. Needs to evolve or exist within these church walls. Hype does not make it. Amen. But what will bring the power and presence of the Lord among us is not polished brass. brass shields, amen, to make believe, but what will bring God's power, anointing, and touch among us is when we, His people, amen, look up to Him, and we lift up the name that is above every name, amen, that we praise Him uninhibitedly, amen. I'm not in competition with any other church, amen. I'm not out for the latest thing that's out there, but what I want to do is my heart touch His heart in praise and worship and adoration to Him. No matter how much you polish the brass or shine it and try to make it look like gold, it will never be gold. We need true apostolic doctrine and apostolic power. Paul said it this way, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We need to see people touched in our service. We need to see people running to altars. We need to see people healed. We need to see people delivered. We need to see people brought out from things of this world. Amen. It's not going to happen by tradition or by form or ritual, but it is going to happen with the demonstration of the Spirit and with power today. Like it or not, agree with it or not, be part of it or not, we are living in a generation that is wanting changes. Morality is changing. What used to be wrong is no longer wrong. What used to be right is being changed to, well, it really doesn't matter. Do whatever makes you feel good. Laws are being introduced and passed which are changing biblical standards of morality and holiness. But no matter how and what they change, sin is still sin. Wrong is still wrong. Right is still right. Holiness is still necessary. Righteous living is still needed. I want to say, if it's morally wrong, you can't fix it politically. The blood has not lost its power. Your sins still need to be washed away. The Holy Ghost still comes with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Holiness is still necessary. Righteous living is still needed. There is still only one God, and He changes not. His Word is still necessary. Not one jot or tittle has changed. It is still forever settled in heaven, and it is still quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. His Word is still a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh no, as society would try to tell us, do away with the book. We don't need it anymore. It's outdated. Amen. We need to find something more modern. But I'm here to tell you today, His Word is not outdated. It is not ineffective. It is good for these times. It is not to be a book that is to be put aside. But His Word, not society, amen, not tradition, but His Word is still able to save my soul. And we need to get a hold of it, love it, and do what the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. I'm still with the songwriter of old. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, not society, not tradition, not modernism, but on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Oh, can we praise Him today? Can we glorify His name today? Thank you, Jesus. When asked about war, Winston Churchill put it this way. I quote, he said, "You ask, what is our policy? I will say, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air, with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us, to wage war against the monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime. That is our policy." He continued and said, "You ask, what is our aim? I can answer that with one word. Victory. Victory at all cost. Victory in spite of terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. For without victory there is no survival." And so I ask today, UPCI, I ask my church back home, Calvary United Pentecostal Church. I ask Apostolic Lighthouse, what is our policy? Here it is. It is to wage war against our enemy. I don't want a patty cake. Amen. I don't want to play footsies with him. Amen. I don't want to try to get on his good side. He is the enemy of my soul. Amen. And my policy, our policy ought to be to wage war against our enemy. Hear me today. I am going to fight for my family. I am going to fight for my marriage. I am going to fight for my husband or wife. I am going to fight for my children. And I am going to fight for your soul. Even today in this service where the enemy would not want you touched by God, I'm going to praise. I'm going to worship. I'm going to bring the word against him. I'm fighting for your soul today. So what is our aim? It's very simple. Victory at all cost. But Bishop, you don't know my... I like saying that. Amen. But Bishop, you don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm up against. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You may be right. In the spirit I feel today, I do know some of you are dealing with brokenness, temptations, pornography, vices. Some may even be entertaining suicide. I might not know all about what you are going through. You're right. But I do know a God. And His name is Jesus. Who, if you will go to Him and come to Him, He will be able to give you victory today, not tomorrow, not next week, not after you take a class, amen, but you can leave here today, amen, with victory in your soul. You can walk out of here praising, glorifying, amen, the majestic name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are no victories at discount prices. You won't find what the Lord has to offer you at the five and dime. You won't find it in the bargain section online. I don't know all these things. My wife knows more about that stuff. There's something I think called Facebook, where you sell things. Marketplace. You won't find it at Facebook Marketplace. You won't find it on eBay. You can't go to Amazon and check out and have it delivered to your house. Amen. There are no victories at discount prices. If you want what you want, if you want what the Lord knows you need, it's very simple today. You just need to raise your hands. Amen. Surrender your heart and begin to praise and worship the Lord God Almighty. We're not here to beg. We're not here to, amen, to bargain. Amen. We're not here to go back and forth. But we're here and God will give us exactly what we need today. But too many times we have allowed circumstances, too many times we have allowed situations, too many times we have allowed the physical reality of what we're facing to keep us from receiving what the Lord would want for us to receive. We look at the obstacle, the situation, and we think that it's greater than what our God is able to do for us. I want to talk to you about that for just a minute here. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Brother Andre is following along today. Amen. Did anybody hear his message on the Church of the Peeps? If you haven't, you need to put a request into your pastor and say, let Brother Andre preach the sermon, The Church of the Peeps. Brother Andre, I looked high and low for peeps to bring to you and give to you today. They do not sell them at this time of year. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 20. Says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. In the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and here in Deuteronomy, the Lord laid out the law and various things to follow under the law. And He laid out various things that the people would encounter when they got into the promised land. One of those things was He told them that they would not have the greatest army. He told them that they might be outnumbered. He told them that if they were outnumbered, don't be afraid. So let me tell you today, don't look at your circumstance or your obstacle and think that it's something, amen, that needs to bring fear or doubt into our minds, that it is an insurmountable thing. The songwriter said, got any mountains, amen, you think are uncrossable? Amen. God can take care of those. There's no river, there's no valley, there's no mountain that God cannot level, bring up, or bring us through today. Don't be afraid. I look at that and I'm just as human as you are, and my humanity tells me, what kind of statement is that? I've always been pretty much bigger than most people, and so it's given me an advantage that I can look down on people, literally. Amen. I never look down on somebody figuratively. We're all God's people. We're all important to God. No matter what our position, stature is, we're all in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. The same today. We're all sinners saved by grace. Amen. I'm thankful for that today. Amen. In Judges, the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because they were facing 900 chariots of iron. In 1 Samuel, the Bible explains that the Philistines came against the children of Israel to battle, to fight with them. The Philistines had 30,000 chariots of iron, 6,000 horsemen, and they could not put a number on the army that was there. They just described it as an army as the sand of the sea. Gideon faced an army like grasshoppers which filled the valley. He had only 32,000 men. But God told him, you got too many. Amen. You know what happened. I don't want to spend a lot of time with that. God told Gideon to tell everybody that was afraid to go home. I've often wanted to do that, Brother Greeley. I've often wanted to get into service and get preaching and say, hey, everybody that's afraid, get out of here. I'm afraid that I'd lose half the people. Amen. I have sent them all out of the church one time. No, in the middle of the service, because they were sitting there like bumps on the log, and God wanted to do something. So in the middle of a service at home, I would never do this while I'm away, but in the middle of a service at home, I said, everybody get up, walk out that door, go outside, and we're going to come back in differently. This time we're going to come in like the Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Give honor to Him. Amen. He's holy. Praise God. Amen. And when that happened, I'm telling you, that service changed and the power of God moved. I'm telling you all here today, amen, it's very simple. There's no great formula to it. You want a move of God? Worship. Amen. You want God to do something? Praise His name. Sometimes you got to get beside yourself. Sometimes you got to come out of your shell. Sometimes you got to put your foot down. Sometimes you got to be not like everybody, but you got to be the one to stand up. That's not me. Oh, but it could be, because we're here to praise the wonderful name of our God. So He told everybody that was afraid, go home. 22,000 people. If I was getting, I'd just do that. Got 10,000 left, and I'm facing the only way they can describe it as grasshoppers which filled the field. God said, okay, Gideon, we got one more test. I want you to take them all down, let them drink some water. Everybody that laps water like a dog, put them over here. Everybody that doesn't, put them over here. They all did the test. All the dog, the water, the dogs that lapped the water. Amen. Well, you know what I'm trying to say. If they lapped the water like a dog, they went over there. Thank you, Sister Dibble. It's good to have my wife here with me. 9,700 of them were standing over there. 300 that didn't are standing over here. And if I was Gideon, I would have stood there and said, okay, this isn't as bad as the first time. The first time I lost 22,000. This time I'm only going to lose 300. But the Lord said, no, Gideon. Send those boys home. I can just picture Gideon talking to the Lord. God, are you in your right mind? He said, send them home, Gideon. I've only got 300 men left. And I'm facing an army like grasshoppers. Yeah, here's what I want you to do, Gideon. Issue everybody a lamp with a cover on it. Give everybody a trumpet. Go up on the hillside. And I can just think, what? No nuclear weapons. No submachine guns. Amen. None of that stuff. Lights and trumpets. Lord, what is going on? And it was God to Gideon. I want you to know that the battle is not yours, but it belongs to me. Amen. Amen. Get up there, Gideon. Break those covers. Let the light shine and show the trumpets and shout. Amen. Don't be inhibited. Shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And when that happened, amen, the Bible says that they all ran away like chickens. That's my word. Amen. I'm telling you today, amen, God is in this place in the same way that He was there with Gideon. Amen. If you will trust Him, if you will obey Him, if you will come to Him, amen, you can walk out of here victorious today. God is able to give us the victory. Amen. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. So He said, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and the people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. Why? For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you, to fight for you against your enemies, and to give you the victory. Now, hold on. We're not talking about just some little g God. We're not talking about some being somewhere. We're not talking about some extraterrestrial, some good guy. We're not talking about our pal. We're talking about God. He is God Almighty. He is the one who in the beginning spoke into nothing and it became something. He said, let there be, and it was. Earth came, water came, land came, flowers, trees, and plants appeared and grew out of nothing. The sun, the moon, and the stars appeared in the universe from nowhere. He spoke and every kind of animal just appeared. And the marvel of marvels, out of the dust of the ground, with His own hands, He formed man in His own image. And He didn't leave him like that, but then He breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Hear me today. He is omnipotent. There is nothing that my God cannot do. He created. He parted the waters and made them stand at attention. He dried the ground so 3.5 million people could walk across and then drowned an entire army. He held the sun for periods of time. He healed lepers, opened blinded eyes, dried up issues of blood, raised the dead, opened barren wombs. Useless limbs came to life. Deaf ears heard. The dumb talked. He's healing cancer today. Delivering tuberculosis. High blood pressure is no problem for him. And what he, because of his sovereign will, chooses not to heal down here on this earth. Like our good friend Brother Williams that we just, amen, sent away. He wants to let us know without a shadow of a doubt, my grace is sufficient for thee. Why? Because He's God Almighty. Not only is He omnipotent, He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. While He's helping me, He's over there helping you. While He's here in Uncasville, He's back in Wallingford, Connecticut. He's up in Manchester. He's back in my hometown, Buffalo. Amen. He's everywhere. And He's doing what God does. Amen. Whatever needs to be done among the people. Why? Because He's omnipresent. He goes before you, stays behind you, and is with you always. He's never too early, never, never late, but is always on time. Why? Because He's God Almighty. What did He say? I want you to know that I am the Lord. Not only is omnipotent, not only is He omnipresent, but He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows my every thought. He knows the words before they ever make it out of my mouth. He knows the intent of my heart. He knows when I'm up. He knows when I'm down. He knows when I'm happy. And He knows when I'm feeling sad, down and blue. He knows when I'm sick. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows where I'm at today and where I'm going tomorrow. sorrow. He knows my good points and my bad points. He knows what I'm going through, have gone through, and what I'm going to go through in the future. Amen. Why? Amen. Why? Because He's omnipresent. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them also. He hadn't come to make a cameo appearance today, but He's come to show off His power. He's come to show off His anointing. He's come to show off to you what kind of God He is and what He is capable of doing today. He's not just some mere mortal person like you or I. It's not even someone of limited power or authority. It's not just some kind of little g God. He is the one and only God. The true and the living God. The blessed potentate. The Almighty, the All-Sufficient One. His name is Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. He is Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. From the beginning He was, right now He is, and in the future He will be. He is the first and the last. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Lily of the Valley. He's the Bright and Morning Star. The Alpha and Omega. He is the Day Star. A well of living water. I could go on and on and on today. He's the deliverer, the door, the captain of salvation, the chief shepherd, the great I am. He is my redeemer today. That is my God. He's the King of the Jews. That's racial. But He goes beyond all races. He's the King of Israel. That's national. But He is able to reach every nation. He is the King of righteousness. The King of the ages. The King of heaven. The King of glory. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's my King. And I ask you, do you know Him today? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define His limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coast of His limitless supplies of power, grace, mercy, kindness, and long-suffering. No barrier can hinder Him from pulling out His blessings. He's enduringly strong. Entirely sincere, eternally steadfast, immorally graceful, empirically powerful, impartially merciful. And I ask you, do you know Him today? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son, a sinner's Savior, the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of Himself. He's august and unique, unparalleled and unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature, the highest personality in philosophy, the supreme problem in high criticism, and the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the miracle of the age. He is the superlative of everything good that you choose to call Him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. And I wonder, do you know Him today? He's available for the tempted and tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and He sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. Blesses the young. Serves the unfortunate. Regards the aged. Rewards the diligent. And beautifies the meek. And I ask you, do you know Him today? Well, He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom, the doorway to deliverance, the pathway of peace, the roadway of righteousness, the highway of holiness, the gateway of glory. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. God is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. I really wish I could describe Him to you today. Do you know my Jesus today? He's indescribable, incomprehensible, invincible, irresistible. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Cast your cares upon me, because I care for you." He said, "Come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you might find help in the time of your need." You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him out off your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without Him. The Pharisees couldn't stand Him, yet they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him. The grave couldn't hold Him. But thank God. Thank God. I know Him today. And I want to let you know today who showed up to help you, to bless you, to heal you, to save you, and to strengthen you. It is He who has chosen you today. You are not here by accident today. It is by the divine will of God. Who is He? His name is Jesus. Jesus. There's something about that name. Savior. Keeper. And He's saying unto you today, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that God is here today. That power is resident today. And God is standing here with His arms open for you today. 5 more minutes, stand with me, please. Musicians, come if that's your custom. So here we are today. Many in the heat of battles in your life. But be not afraid. For I, the Lord, am with thee. Whatever you need from the Lord, He is here today to minister to you. I fought with God. I questioned God. I said, God, I can't preach. I can't do what you're asking me to do. I am not Ezekiel. But I feel like Ezekiel today. And that the Lord is asking the question to us today. In your personal life, can these bones live? Can my life be made whole? Can God bring me to the victory that I need to have in my life? I feel like the Lord has sent me here today and has told me that there are many needs represented here today. And so I am not a prophet. I don't want to be like Ezekiel, trust me. But I have spoken the word of God. And that's what the Lord told Ezekiel. He said, prophesy. Speak my word. And say. And so I am speaking the word of God to you today. And just like what happened in Ezekiel 37, it can happen here this morning. A valley of bones, lives scattered, torn apart, amen, ripped by things of this world, amen, don't know if we'll ever find our way out of what we're going through, but hear the word of the Lord today, amen, God is here with us today, and God can and is wanting to put your life back together again. Everything that you're hurting from, everything that's going on in your life, your marriage might be torn apart, your relationships might not be what they ought to be, you might have sickness in your body, amen, you may need the Holy Ghost today. God is here today, amen, to do whatever you need done today. When he prophesied, the word says, he said unto me, God speaking to Ezekiel, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, somebody here is feeling this in your life today. Our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. But you're not hopeless today. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And I have opened your graves, and have brought you out of your graves. And I'll put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. I open these altars today. Amen. Anybody that needs a touch from the Lord today, He's here today. His word has come forth. His promise has come forth. Amen. Amen. God is here to minister to your life. If you need the Holy Ghost, amen, come. You don't need to live in that state any longer. You don't need to live where the enemy is bombarding you any longer. If you're battling with vices in your life, if you're battling with thoughts of suicide, come on. Amen. Come on. Amen. God is here today. We serve a God that's big enough, amen, to touch everybody today, to minister to every soul today, to bring everybody out today. The Lord is saying, fear not. Fear not. I'm with you. I'm with you today. I'm your God today. I'm your healer today. I have the answer for your life today. I'm your deliverer today. Fear not. Fear not. I'm with you.